our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yeah, obvious, we got a problem here. And it's more than just Alvin streaming Punisher. When life begins to suck, who's reporting it? Luckily, got two friends who you won't forget. Coming live, Alvin and friend on survival. Laughing nonstop, case drops on a cycle. Louder than intrusive thoughts off an iPhone. How they make the world seem bright with the lights off? AFs, it might as well stay up. Lies being told like that dinosaur BS. Magnifying glass to the ground if they don't see us. Having the time, roasting your favorite pizza. Bougie ain't an option, it's the way. Take it to the grave, add moving to the place. You already know when they take the case. Laugh the pain away, it's affirmative murder.
Hi, yeah, hello people. Welcome to another Affirmative Murder mini-sode, Tales from the Hood edition. I'm Alvin Williams, you know Fran is here. Fran, what's up, boss?
What up? Ain't nothing. I'm excited. The juice is pumping, man.
Yeah, we are coming to you. These come out on Monday, so I'm assuming this one did and nothing happened. Like, you know, a micro SD card snapping in half and we lost this to all of eternity. So I'm assuming this is out for people to hear. And we are four or 5 days away from our live show in Portland, Oregon. Yeah. We're taking this show on the road. Shout out to anybody who joined us here in Baltimore for our first live show. This will not be impeded by snow or any of the like as the last time. Although Portland, you know, it's going to be raining, I think, but that's just what they're used to. So if you're from the Pacific Northwest, you know rain is like breathing out there. So no, the rain is not going to stop anybody from coming, I think. I don't think any flights will be delayed. I don't know how hard it's going to rain because we do got people flying in. We got people driving in. This is very exciting. I'm very, you know, the first show was like a test run, but this feels like the opening act. Like this feels like the real, that was a dress rehearsal. And this feels like our first live show, if I'm going to be honest. Obviously, we had a great time. I'm appreciative to everybody that came out. But this one feels like we're going to another state. It's a bigger audience. It just feels more nervousy. If that's a word, it's not a word. I know it's not. Literally, it's not a word. But I don't care. Like, that's the feeling. It's like, ooh, I have more jitterbugs for this one than I did for the first one because we were on home turf. How about yourself?
I would say the opposite, man. I think I'm locked in. But, something that's, like, nerve-wracking for me, and then once I do it once, it's like I'm less nervous the second time. Like, CromCon, the first time we went, I was like, this shit is going to be insane. Then a couple was after that, I'm like, oh, this is... What can't be different than the second time other than the first time? But like, unless we bomb or something where the show is tragic. That's when we can go, like, I don't know if I want to do another show.
Sure.
Like, we go to Portland, and we go up there and just, like, bomb, and it's just a shitty show. Uh-huh. I would go.
I'm over it.
Man, I don't know.
This is dumb. I don't want to do it anymore. I quit.
I don't want to do this.
This is dumb. They all suck. This sucks. I don't want to do it anymore.
And all the confidence I had after the first one is washed away. It's completely gone.
Yeah. Well, I hope that doesn't happen. You know, so I really hope that doesn't happen.
It might.
Because it could always happen for sure. We could all just freeze up. But
either way,
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good show. And I'm confident in that. And we'll see what happens. Portland, May 4th. See you guys there. But friend, you know why the people are here. Let's not waste any more of their time. Let's dive into our first emails. I'm excited to get into it.
Do we have some good ones though?
I believe so, because as I said,
I'm gonna have to turn into my inner Simon Powell. I'm gonna have to be
your inner what?
Is that his name Simon Powell? What's his name?
Simon Powell. Yeah, Simon Powell.
Who's Simon Powell?
Oh, Simon Powell. Okay, right. Simon Powell.
I'm gonna have to turn Simon Powell, and I'm gonna have to start creating these stories. I can't keep. You know, this is time. you know, I'm on a new level now, and I can't be doing this every day. And the story's not be great. Yeah. I got to start critiquing.
You're really jabbing the Dunkin' Donuts coffee mug at the screen. It's very aggressive. Yeah. Like it's very boss. Cut them from the team behavior. Is the energy you're giving.
I got to start critiquing the stories.
Well,
all
if you
right?
call a spade a spade, I would appreciate it if you don't go full Simon Powell and maybe lead with love and kindness and don't be like, this sucks. Don't ever email us again. Because, you know, we don't want to discourage people from writing in. So if you do decide to be Simon Powell, maybe
see,
be a lighthearted Simon Powell.
See, that's what's wrong with America nowadays. We coddle people. We want to be nice. No, people need the cold, hard truth. They need to be critiqued. They need to be criticized. They need to be, hey, this was trash.
Sure. Well, hey.
Send it again.
Try
fix
again
your grammar.
Next time. We'll circle the improper grammars and put a grade on top of the
email. Come on. See, that's what's wrong with us. That's what kids are failing in school because we let them just pass.
Oh, he's on the soapbox now.
Yeah, we can't. Come on,
you're going full Simon.
We all
Powell
learn how to write an essay and English. Come on now, let's get it. There's apps. We have Chat GPT. Come on,
Chat GPT, write your email.
Yes, come on. Yeah. Come on. No errors, please. No errors.
No errors.
I have to.
Eras tour. Taylor Swift.
I will start grading stories today. Today's
okay.
stories will be
well,
great.
Then Fran, aka Simon Powell, has spoken, and that will be how we will proceed this episode and see how it goes. Our first email. Hey guys, what's up? Just started listening to the podcast recently and I thought I'd write in. I'm from New York City originally, but I've been in Baltimore for nearly a decade now. I have lived all over Baltimore. You know how it can be swapping roommates and searching for cheap rent. 2 years ago, I moved into an apartment all on my own for the first time. A lot of my friends are married or living with their partners at this point and have loved the weird stories from my building and neighbors, so I thought I would send in a few of them to you. I live in an old pre-war building in the Mount Vernon area. Back in its day, I'm sure it was a gorgeous big home for a rich person. It has since become chopped into four apartments and neglected by a leasing company. When I first moved in, I quickly met the woman that lives on the first floor. I consider myself to be a little cool and interesting, but she immediately surpassed me. She is the type of person to go to Burning Man every year, and she's outgoing and chatty. I'll call her apartment one for these stories. I'm in apartment two. I met the guy in apartment three a week or so after moving in. I'll call him apartment three. Very clever. I was holding a ton of stuff in the hallway, still moving in, and I saw him passing. He introduced himself, welcomed me to the building, but that was it. A maybe 30-second interaction. About a week later, I'm bringing some groceries in, and an older woman is hanging out by the building gate. She asked me if I could let her into the building, and I kind of freeze for a second, trying to figure out what to say. I've never seen her before, and I'm new to this place. After a few seconds of silence, she said, "I'm apartment three's mom." I figured she knew his name. All of the doors to our actual apartments are locked, too, and she's kind of old, so I could totally take her if I needed to. So I let her in. That's a good threat assessment, and then proceeding from there, so I appreciate your style. I go into my apartment and back out to get the rest of my groceries, and she heads up to knock on apartment three's door. When I came back in, she still is in the hallway and she looks down the stairs and asks me if I've seen apartment three. I for a second thought she meant, had I met him? I said, yeah, I met him a week ago. He seemed really nice. And she said, have you seen him recently? I said I hadn't. She paused for a second and then said, he went to Florida a week ago and no one has heard from him since then. His phone is off. His friends haven't heard from him at all. I live in Pennsylvania, but I just drove 4 hours straight to go check on him. I was a little shocked and didn't know what to do. Was I one of the last people to see him before he went missing? I said something like, oh, man, that's crazy. So relatable. I understand. I get that. Like, I don't know what to say after you say some personal shit like that. What?
I say it all the time.
Yeah, what?
Even if I do have something to say, I go, oh, what?
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Well, good luck.
continue carrying my groceries.
Yeah, oh, well, I'm sure it'll all work out. I got a whole slew of those. Well, you know. That's my favorite one. Just trail off. Well, all right then. yeah. She then asked me if she could give me her numbers to text her if I saw him. I took her number down and went back into my apartment. I heard her knocking on his door for a while longer, but then she left. I was then thinking about what I should do if I saw him. I'm new to this building. I don't really know the characters yet. Maybe he's just a partier and a crazy guy, and he does this type of thing often. If he's actually gone missing, that's wild. But what if she's the crazy one in this scenario? What if he doesn't talk to his mom and does not want to be contacted by her? I don't want to let her know when he's home, if that's the case. I decided I would mind my own business unless someone seemed like they were in danger. I really wanted to talk to apartment one about it. She was very outgoing and talked to everyone in the building, but I didn't have her number yet. Another few weeks pass, and then one day I'm getting home, and I just see him in the hall. I'm not a very outgoing person. I enjoy meeting new people and being friendly, but I like being on my own more and never strike up conversations with people.
Same.
Yeah, for sure. My introverted instincts took over in my shock at seeing this person, at seeing this missing person, and I just said, hey. He said, hey, how's it going? In a totally normal and casual way. And then we just went on our ways. All of my friends were so mad that I didn't ask him about seeing his mom. I promised myself I would bring it up the next time I saw him, but I didn't see him again for like a month. And by then, at that point, it felt like it would be weird to bring it up, so I just never did. A few weeks after that, a guy moved into apartment 4. I would see him in the hallways and just say hi. He was originally from New York, too, and seemed nice. After a few months, we started to notice a horrible smell in the building. Apartment 1 noticed it first, then me, and then it was just in the halls and everywhere. We didn't know what it could be. We asked apartment 3 if he had smelled it too, and he had no idea. We talked to a maintenance man, and he asked if we had spoke to apartment 4 about it yet. All of us said we had not seen him in months. The maintenance man said, no one's seen him at all? He lived directly above me, and I said, I actually haven't really heard from him either in a while. As a group, it all dawned on us at the same time. Could he be dead and rotting in his apartment? For a week, I was terrified that that was the case. But apartment 1 did some digging around in our basement and found out it was full of mold. The mold was causing the smell. We never, ever go into the basement. It's pretty scary down there. There's also a business, in quotes, on the bottom floor of the building, but it's been abandoned for years. The basement connects to the abandoned part, too. So their basement is connected to the business. They cleaned up the mold and the smell went away. Another month or so later, an eviction notice was on the building for his apartment, meaning apartment 4. A few days after the notice went up, apartment 1 caught me in the hallway and came into my apartment. She said she had seen apartment 4 recently getting out of his car. It was a flashy, cool blue and yellow sports car. She said she told him his car looked very cool and he said, yeah, but it attracts a lot of attention.
Does he not like that? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I hate when people do that. Like, don't get out of a Lamborghini and tell me about your woes in life, about how hard it is having a cool car. Like, man, everybody's always going to take pictures and videos. It's just like,
I
just want to be left alone. You bought a $200,000 car. Like,
right.
It's neon blue.
It's shiny.
Yeah, it's got chrome rims and it has lights on it. Come on, man. So I just want to be really inconspicuous.
I hate attention.
Yeah, it's like, your car's yellow. At the time, she thought the comment was a little weird. But then that morning, she went outside and saw all 4 tires slashed on the car.
Mm.
We never saw him again. Never figured out what happened. Got evicted, had a sports car. He might have been in the mob or something. Like the Greek mob. A lot of that type of shit in Baltimore.
So, what happened to his mom? Did I miss that? Or?
Well, that was apartment 3. And he came home. And then she never brought it up again. So, it was like, he wasn't missing. So, she never asked. We don't know. We'll never know why he was gone. Maybe this guy likes the rain.
Maybe I just made too much of that whole
thing. Yeah, she's like, I drove down 4 hours from, like, I don't know. Lady, if I see him, I'll let you know. She saw him and she was like, well, I see him. He's alive, so I'm not going to make a big fuss about this.
Maybe he was just on vacation.
Yeah, maybe he just went away. Maybe he doesn't fuck with you like that, mom.
Right.
God damn. Chill out. Driving
that
down here.
Back.
Have you seen my son? You don't get out of my face. Then for a while, it was just me, apartment 1, and apartment 3. Our building door lock was starting to go. It basically never locked. But again, you go in and then everybody has their own apartment buildings.
Right.
But the front door doesn't lock. It was a little sketchy, but I kept my actual apartment door locked always. And it was nice that packages were not being stolen since the mail carriers were dropping the packages behind the building door now. So now that you can just kind of open it, they weren't just leaving them on the front stoop.
Right.
So I guess that's a plus. We have a front gate that also was starting to swing wide open. So this is just an unkept building, as she stated before. She already said that. Having both not secure was not a good look. I felt uncomfortable as a woman living alone like that. So me and apartment 1 asked the maintenance to fix the building door lock. They did. But after they fixed it, we noticed that the door to the abandoned business was cracked open sometimes. At first, I really didn't care. But then apartment 1 reminded me, the basement connects the apartments to the business. So the business has its own entrance, but you can get into the apartment through the business.
Right. And the base and the business door is
and broken. The business door is now broken too. So they have their apartment door fixed, but now the business door is broken. I was suddenly terrified. Was someone living in our basement? I emailed maintenance about securing the business door, but they were slow on getting back about that. Then one day, I went to the gym at 5 a.m. and came home around 6:15 a.m. I unlocked the building door, and right there in the entrance is a homeless man. He had a chair that he had brought in that he was sitting on and everything. He was about 1 foot away from me, and I had to walk past him to get up the stairs. Suddenly, my mind is racing. I'm a woman who lives alone, and there is a strange man in my apartment building. It's also freezing outside today. He probably just wants to be warm. I can't blame a freezing human being for wanting a little warmth. Do I shout at him to get out? Maybe he will never come back if I do. I'm tall and athletic. He seems a little old and frail. But what if he gets violent back at me? I don't know what he's like.
Yeah.
Do I be nice? Yeah, exactly. Do I be nice to this person who maybe just needed a little bit of a break from the cold? What if he takes that as a green light to come back with his friends?
He's definitely not doing that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm keeping this to myself. You don't know street rules.
You don't do that.
You're blowing up your spot. Now what if a more seasoned and physical homeless person comes and tries to take over the block?
Yeah.
Now you keep that to yourself.
Keep that to yourself. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In my panic, I'm not proud of this. I just say, oh boy, you startled me. Like I was in some kind of 1950s rom-com. Fight or flight? No. I hit the transatlantic accent on him. I keep walking past him. I just want to get into my apartment and lock the door. He says, oh, I'm sorry. I hope you have a good day, which is very nice. I got to my apartment and I locked the door. My boyfriend had been staying over and his dog was there too. His dog barked when I entered and normally I shush him, but I let the dog bark and bark and bark. If there's going to be a stranger in my building, I want them thinking I have a big, mean dog. So, yeah, good strategy. This is why you shouldn't shush dogs, man. You got to let dogs do what they do. You don't want them to shush in the moment when they need to be barking and alerting you to things, so you don't want to teach them a bad habit like that. I didn't want to call the cops right away. There have been too many people hurt or killed at the hands of cops for smaller reasons than sitting inside of a building. This poor guy was probably just trying to stay warm in the winter. I didn't want him in the building, but I also didn't want a police interaction to turn bad. Good on you. I'm going to go ahead and give her some applause. Thinking about people other than yourself. That's very altruistic, and I respect that. I sent my boyfriend out with his dog to check on the man. The man had already fled, leaving his chair behind. His prized possession. I texted the other two neighbors, and I wrote a scathing email to my leasing company. She went full Karen. They came the next day and fixed all the doors. It turns out that the homeless man and maybe others were staying in the basement. There doesn't seem to be any way for them to get in now, I hope. The building has been a big source of entertainment to my friends. They love the stories. I could do without thinking that there's a dead guy above me or a stranger living in my basement. But hey, the lighting is great, the ceilings are high, and the rent is decent. We just got a new guy who moved into apartment 4. Maybe he will give me another good TFTH to send in to you guys. Love the podcast. Laughed when you guys brought up the bumper stickers that say, hey, Baltimore. Actually, I like it. I love this city. Happy to have made it my home. Always L. L says that she... So first of all, L, thank you for the email. I love your little only murders in the building life, and I support it, and I stan you, and I think that you're great. The Mount Vernon neighborhood, I'm also a fan of. Babies on Fire, fantastic coffee shop across the street from a place that I got one of my favorite sandwiches of all time from, a place called Alora. Right across the street. So you got Babies on Fire. Alora. Great neighborhood. Love Mount Vernon. Anyway, let's get to another email. All right, here we go. We got another email. This one says, this one's a mini story. According to them, we'll be the judges of that. Let's get into this one. Hi, I'm a new listener. I came over from the Morbid collab and really like y'all's vibe. This story takes place 20 years ago when I was about 11. The house we lived in was considered historic, a.k.a. rundown. One night, it was just my younger brothers and I at the house. Our dog started the most hostile barking, so I got up. I walked around and made sure that the front door was locked and was making my way to my brothers, who were sleeping in front of the TV next to the French doors to the backyard. It took me a few seconds to realize that there was a full-grown... Damn. Okay.
Can you say that? Jeez.
I don't know, but she's... You know what? We're going to go ahead and read... we're going to go ahead and switch on... We're gonna reread that just to give her just to help her out. We looked and saw that there was a full grown on the other side of the glass about 5 feet from my brother's. What did she say? We'll never know. So was it was it harsher than what she said? Who knows? I speculate wildly on what that beep means. Let's see. Where was I? So her brothers were sleeping and there was a on the other side of the French doors. Not the thing you want to see at 2 a.m. When home alone and in charge of your siblings. Yeah, nobody wants to see a. Am I right? I'm making it really bad for her. And I'm not going to say your name at the end because who knows what she said. And I want to bail you out. But as two black men who host the platform of a podcast, I would hope that you don't think it's that one. But there's still a whole world of things it could be that are very awful. And we'll never tell you. So in those seconds, I processed that the doors would be very easy to break and remembered our landline didn't work thanks to a hungry rat. Yeah, well, those are pretty strong. I mean, French doors, I don't really know that, if they could withstand that full force and power. But a hungry rat chewed at their landline. This is a horror movie. I still remember standing there with the cold fear coursing with me as I maintained eye contact with the probable and realizing that I had to run this guy off myself. Some kind of bravery or stupidity took over me. So I grabbed our dog collar and ripped open the back door with the other hand. I used my best grown-up voice to demand what he was doing in our yard. He started to take off toward the back fence, and I let go of the dog. She caught up with the would-be burglar when he was halfway up the fence. She launched herself up into the air and latched onto the backside as she swung back and forth like a pendulum. Once he was over the fence and she came trotting back, I slammed the doors and moved my brothers upstairs despite the heat of the summer. I tell this as a funny story at gatherings, and no one else thinks it's funny. Keep doing what you do. And this person, their name is in here, but I'm going to keep it out of there. They didn't say anything too bad, but I don't want to say it on our platform. And so, and let's just to be safe. And I'm not going to tell you guys what it was, but, so that makes it funny to me. Now, you know how you tell stuff at parties and they don't laugh. That's really funny to me. And maybe she won't find it funny, but that's hilarious to me that nobody knows what you said. And we did beeps a bunch of times, but we don't know if you can say and not get in trouble. So we're going to be safe than sorry. We're going to do one more before we get out of here. We're going to keep it Baltimore. This one is a TFTH Baltimore edition. Hey, Alvin and Fran. My name is Tay. Feel free to use my name. I'm a big fan of the show and have been since you were featured on Morbid the first time. Shout out to Morbid for putting me with several great podcasts. I started listening to them around the time I found out about the incident I'm about to tell you about. I'm a Baltimore native, and I used to work and live downtown at a high-rise apartment community that consisted of three separate buildings. Back in the spring of 2020, I was working with the rest of the leasing team to boost our numbers after lots of students moved out due to the pandemic. I accidentally searched one of the names of the buildings instead of going directly to the website one day. I happened to glance over the search results and saw news articles relating to a death that occurred on the property a few years before. Upon further research, there were two similar deaths that occurred almost 1 year apart from each other. In 2010, a 30-year-old man was found dead after falling down the trash chute. Oh, wow. Every movie I've seen in the 80s, Fran, made that look like such a fun adventure. And if I had a trash chute in the building that I lived in, I would probably try to go in it. And luckily, I didn't because I would die.
I guess those are like high-rises that usually have trash chutes, right? I've never seen one.
I feel like older buildings do. I don't know if this is a new building, but I feel like that's more of an older building thing. Also, in every TV show that I've seen, when you get to the bottom, it's a trash can full of newspapers and soft things. So even if you're falling from the 15th floor, you're going to be braced by a cushiony fall. And I guess that's not true.
Like a 10-foot, like a 20-foot long dumpster that's in the bottom.
It's a 20-foot long dumpster full of newspaper trimmings and pillows and mattresses. And so when you fall into it gracefully, like a Home Alone or something.
Yeah.
But I guess that's not true.
Apparently
you can die. Well, this guy's 30. So all of his childhood whimsy, I think only children are supposed to go through trash chutes. Also, if you're 30, you accidentally fall through a trash chute. I don't know. You're drunk or something. I don't know. Not victim blaming, but I think I could avoid a trash chute at 30 years old. I don't think I could accidentally fall down a trash chute.
Maybe he had like a big trash bag that was super heavy and he got cut on his hand when he went to go throw it.
And he went, my hand! And he fell backwards through the trash chute.
And it's pulled him like an anchor or something like that.
Or maybe it wasn't an accident. Ooh. I don't have any mysterious music sound effects on my board. But maybe it wasn't an accident at all. Maybe it just looked like an accident. So, anyway, a 30-year-old man fell in the trash chute and he died. He was later found to have sleeping medication and alcohol in his system. Makes total sense now. But also, wouldn't it make sense if you wanted it to look like an accident that you would feed a person sleeping pills and alcohol? So when they get the toxicology, anyway, we don't need to go down that roll. We don't need to go down that rabbit hole, that roll. He was later to have sleeping pills and medication in the system. His death was ruled an accident. 14 months later, a 23-year-old woman who was a graduate student at a nearby university was visiting a friend at the building and was later found dead after falling down the trash chute as well.
Wow.
Cool. Now it's getting weird. Now it's getting real only murders in the building.
Wow, this is a common occurrence. What's going on here?
Yeah, what's going on? Who lives in that building? According to an article from the Baltimore Sun, the deaths were not linked. Of course, the article would say that. That's what they want you to think, the person who linked these two deaths. According to the Baltimore Sun article, the deaths were not linked in any way. Keep in mind, this was a 26-story high-rise with tons of neighbors. I believe the building was almost 100% occupancy around this time, so I'm not sure how no one witnessed it. The trash chute is situated on the wall between two apartments. I spoke with a few of my coworkers about it, and they said that they remembered when each death occurred, and unfortunately, the building's porter found both bodies. I guess that's like a maintenance man. His position was dissolved before I began working there, so I never got a chance to ask him any details. Convenient that this guy's now gone. He's in the wind now. You don't know where this guy is? Interesting. The porter. Maybe the porter ports. I don't have any clever wordplay for that word. What I do know is that these trash chutes are only designed to fit a kitchen trash bag and require a bit of force to open. It would be pretty tough to put someone in there without the help of another person, and it would be nearly impossible to climb inside by yourself. The door of the trash chute opens similarly to a blue mailbox on the street, so you got to hold it open to keep it open. It's not like it could just be sitting there open and you accidentally fall into an open trash chute. You got to hold it open. Shit gets on my nerves all the time. I got a handful of packages and I got to open up that blue little lip and then the lip flips back. And I got to keep trying to fucking maneuver the great way to get everything in there. And if it's anything like that, I'm not falling in that for sure. Whether I'm drunk, high, I don't care. So this is even more suspicious. Eventually, cameras were installed. A little too late, huh? A little too late. Two deaths. Now you got cameras there. Now we'll never know the mystery. And I'm sure she's mad too. That's why she emailed us. Anyway, eventually cameras were installed on each floor, but only facing the north side of the hallway where the chutes are. I'm really sorry for these people for losing their lives this way. And I'm sorry for other folks living there, many of whom were long-term residents in this beautiful building. I'm no longer an employee with the company, so I felt like it was fine for me to write to you guys. And then she sent us a link about the two people falling to the Baltimore, down the trash chutes from the Baltimore Sun. And then she finished off by saying, I can't wait for the next live show in Baltimore. I'll make sure I think of some other stories I have either from my time growing up in West Baltimore or during my time at Morgan State. Best regards, Tay. P.S. I live a few blocks away from Pava LaPere was found murdered in her apartment building this past fall. We're the same age and people were calling to check on me before the news released her name and picture. It was a very eerie time in the neighborhood with tons of national and local news reporters all over the place. Thank you all for discussing her case. I know a few people who worked with her and they said she was great. R.I.P. Yes, absolutely. R.I.P. to Pava LaPere. Thank you to Tay for a great email. And shout out to Baltimore, man. It's a great city, a lot of culture, a lot of wild characters. But, you know, I love it here. Fran, what are your thoughts on the home team?
Oh, I love it here, man. I don't think I would. It would have to be something very lucrative to get me to move.
For sure.
To live out here, for sure. Like, I don't have any other reason to. Family here, friends are here. I don't have any other reason to move anywhere else. It's too much anxiety to be moving somewhere, and it's like, I don't know nobody. I gotta learn the whole landscape of where I'm at. I gotta figure out where everything is. I'm not up for that. I'm good.
Yeah, for me, it's like Baltimore or Ibiza. Like, either I'm living here for the rest of my life, or I've made... I'm now worth $20 million and I can live on like a cliffside in another country. Yeah.
Exactly. There's but no I would still I would, I do like I would Philly, still though. Be
I do
here,
like
though.
Philly. I do like Philly.
Philly?
I do like Philly. Okay. Admittedly, I do like Philly. I'm a city guy. I just like living in I like city life, man. I like being able to go to a coffee shop.
You say that now. See, you say that now. But go ahead.
What do you mean?
I think you're forgetting that your life is about to completely change. But go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, man.
People can stroll. You can stroll a street with a stroller.
Sure, man.
Don't tell me my life is about to drastically change. Like, I can't live in the city because I got a kid on the way. Don't do that to me. Don't take that from me, man.
Okay. Look at you laughing at me condescendingly. You can't just go to a coffee. You can't just go. It's not, oh, you just push the stroll. Sure, man. Sure. Sure. Is that what you see in movies? Sure. That's exactly how it is.
Sure, man. All right, guys, listen, May 4th, we got a live show in Portland, Oregon. Super excited to see you guys there. This has been another Tales from the Hood minisode featuring a lot of Baltimore character lifestyles and some great listeners from the local area and somebody else who wasn't from the local area, but they're great, too. Until next time, affirmativemurder@gmail.com. Get those emails in. Get those audio files in. Whatever you got, we'd love to hear from you guys. Send them in, man. This has been another episode, friend. Let them know with the the lesson for today. Wrap it up. Let them know.
Lesson for today is shout out to the great city of Baltimore City. And in the winter months, just let the homeless people do what they do, man. If they want to come in and chill in your building, let them. Leave them alone. They ain't bothering nobody.
Stop being such a Debbie Downer.